Good morning, everyone. It is lovely to be here. I am happy to be here and actually recognizing faces. I got to get the names to go with the faces. But the first couple of times we came, it had been a while, and now I feel like I'm becoming part of the family. So that's, I don't know about Michael, I'm speaking for myself there, but but I just love it, and I enjoy coming so much, and I know Michael does too. I can actually speak for him on that. I will just remind you that we have a little plaque up there that has all of our information on it. If you want to know podcasts, YouTube, that kind of thing, Facebook page, everything like that, it's up there. We have, obviously, books. We can do credit, debit, anything like that. Most importantly, if you haven't, or even if you have, we have an email sign-up sheet, and I would encourage you to sign up. We don't solicit. It's strictly for newsletters, and I've started now sending out emails to let you know we're going to be here ahead of time. So even if you've signed up, if you re-sign up, that would be great because I can then put the location with the name, and I can send you out an email to let you know we're going to be here in your area. So we are so excited to join you. Wish you a happy 4th of July. And I have to say one more thing. You just look so relaxed. I am so excited about today because I know just a tidge of what Michael's going to say. And there are just some powerful, powerful things that the Lord is doing and happening. And so I just get chills, but I'm just so excited. So with that, I'm going to turn it over so you can know. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, it's great. You know, I feel like this thing happening here today. And so I just want to share some things with you. First of all, you know, we just view you as family. We just love just kind of coming and really just hanging out and watching God progress, right, in all of what he's doing in us and through us. I was making a couple quick notes as I was just sitting in front, and I saw this thing that said, new sound, new season. And so I feel like that you are entering into a new season. I know this sounds a little bit cliche, but there's, you know, we go to a lot of places we can't necessarily say that about in the sense of the transition that's going on. But I felt like that the transition that you have been going through is over. And I know that we have different times and seasons, transition in our life, but I felt like a long one that has been kind of going on for a while, that you're coming to the end of it, that it's over. And I put the earlier season has ended and another has begun. Amen. And so I just made a few quick notes in relation to just a shift that I felt as I was walked in here, that watch as the gates open wide. Like I just feel a widening of the gates beginning to open up, which means it creates a greater drawing. There's a greater pull upon people, like, you know, almost like maybe you've been hidden for a while, and all of a sudden it's obvious and the gates are open wide. Nations will enter in, and with them will come a deeper longing for the Father's heart. And another thing I wrote is their mantle will reveal the power of sonship. Now, I love this idea of entering into sonship, and I'm going to share just a couple things maybe on that today because of this shift. And I feel like that you have been nurturing that, meaning that you've come out of the trench of common or traditional ministry. And so as a result, there is a revelation, a manifestation of sonship at a level I believe that God has been longing to see rise up in the earth. And the other is that those who come in are going to reveal the genius and love of life that God has given to them. So the genius that is then in them and the life of God that is in them. And I don't know about you, but I love people who have this an amazing imagination, had the amazing ability to release the creative power of God, you know, through their lives and really see that rise up. Another thing I wrote is new expressions of the arts will fill this place. I just felt just like an influx of the artistic realm, literally just like flooding into this place because of this new transition that is going on. It's like it's been prepping for it, but now people will come in and carry with them the artistic nature and ability of heaven and release it into the earth. I don't know about you, but I love hanging out with all of the artistic expressions, right? I mean, because they're huge, they're massive, and they're major gates in the spirit. And lastly, I wrote a spirit of restoration will become most evident. So sometimes people are in a process of coming out of one thing into another, and it's part of a restorative process that they're going through. And they enter into, once they come out of that, it's like, wow, I have finally come out of that. Now I feel I'm in a level of restoration that I had never experienced before. So I believe that is part of the drawing that people literally, when they begin to come in, they're going to step into a kingdom restoration of heaven in this place. And lastly, the Lord gave me two numbers toward the end of 2020 and the beginning of 2021. This space will seem small compared to the increase of heaven that begins to flow in here. And so I don't know about you, but I just think that's great news, right? And so I'm excited to be able to come into an agreement with God's intentions for you, because we are all on a journey. Every place that is, you know, advancing in the kingdom of God has their journey in the spirit. And I think one of the greatest opportunities that we have is to come along beside each other and come into an agreement with God's intent, not to necessarily promote our agenda. Are you with me? I know oftentimes I've been guilty of that in times past. You feel like you have an agenda and you want to, you know, promote that. But what it does, it will often override the agreement of God for specific groups and places and things that he's doing, because God is so diverse and he has all of these different expressions of his heart that he's wanting to release into the land. And I think it's important that we tap into that, that we align ourselves with that, and therefore come into an agreement with that, knowing that he wants to express himself in every city, every region, state, nation, whatever it is, at the level that he desires to do it. So I don't know about you, but I love the flavor of heaven on earth. I love the flavor of humanity. I love the flavor of the kingdom of God in us, and just watch it unfold in a very powerful way. It makes some people a little bit nervous, makes some people a little bit, I don't know about this, but I just love it because it's just the Father's heart. So I want to just share some crazy things with you. We came out of a meeting Friday, another one last night, and I'm excited to be here just to share some things. I feel like sometimes, you know, like the jet flying across the sky, it leaves that stream. I feel like sometimes Tamara and I are doing that. We're just leaving this trail, you know, of evidence that, you know, the in the heavens that something is happening, that God is doing something. And, of course, we always love overriding decay at any level. So whether it's our perception of how we perceive something in the natural, and it looks like it's getting worse, you know, rather than better, we like overriding that and rising up into the perspective of being on the mountain of the Lord and releasing his desire intent toward his people. So I want to just say some bold things. And of course, I like to say this. If it doesn't agree with your spirit, if you feel like, oh, I don't know, then don't wrestle with it. Don't feel like you got to choke on it. Just put it aside. And if it fits, fine. If it doesn't, then don't worry about it. So I'm just giving you my side, my experience, my impression of what I believe God is releasing in the earth. So are you good with that? I was just glancing in a book about evolution of another kind, and there's a chapter in there, and I wrote this book like in 2009 or something like that, right? And I was reflecting back on this chapter I wrote called The Teal Generation. And it's in relation to Ephesians 4, and it goes through gave some to be apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and so on, until the maturation of the sons of God. That's a short version of it. Until you begin to see this. I don't know about you, but I think we're beginning to see a level of maturation that is rising up in the earth in ways that we have never seen before. So I understand there, and I'm not negating again the prophetic realm, the office of a prophet or so forth, but all I know is that it's beginning to fade in light of sonship increasing in the earth. Because the object is to take on all of those characteristics, because they all resemble who God is, his intentions and desire for his people, but sooner or later, we have to grow up. Because if those things are continually at the forefront, it is only a reminder of our immaturity. So we have to rise up into that revelation, manifestation of being sons and daughters of God and what that looks like in the sense of God's intent for us. You will all see, you will all hear, we'll all create, co-create with God. I love all of that. So I love looking at nations, knowing that the light of God is going to transform them. So if I can see that, I can co-create with God. And I've said this before here, that we can co-create with God and create a transformation upon the earth in the way that he desires. For a number of years, I've been speaking about Iran and how Iran would begin to emanate a light, a level of life that the earth has never seen before. And we have been seeing that unfold more and more. I read a recent article concerning Iran where it now currently has one of the fastest growing churches in the world. Now just think about that. There are thousands upon thousands of people that are now coming into the revelation of God's love in that nation at a level that they have never seen before. To where there will be such an increase of God's glory in that land that it will literally override the darkness of government that has plagued that land for years. I don't know about you, but I love the idea that we are invited to come to the table of the Lord and entertain the potential of heaven on earth in the darkest regions of the world. So that makes me very, very happy when I see those things beginning to physically manifest in the earth. We see them by the Spirit, and we talk about them in advance. That is the power of faith and the power of perception that is given to us to move into these things before they actually become evident. In that sense, we call upon the things that are not as though they are. And the idea of something as though they are, in other words, as they are in heaven, as God has already declared them to be. And so we tap into that reality. Another recent thing that happened that I was really excited about, the first time I went to Israel, it was around 2002, somewhere back there. And I had an individual that we had relationship for a number of years, And so we were just all over the map in that area, all the way to the Syrian border, into different, where the army was, you know, soldiers were literally, they're camped at the Syrian border, and was able to go into the bunkers that they have there, and just all kinds of different stuff, stuff that you wouldn't do if you were like on a tour, right, in a normal Israel tour. So we just got to go into all of these places and really speak into these different situations. One of the places that we went to for a pleasure time was, you know, the Dead Sea, right? So we go out there and we're floating on the salt, you know, and just thinking, wow, this is amazing. And as I get out of that after a while, I go and stand on the shore. There was this impression of heaven that came upon me, just rose up in my spirit. And I began to stand there and prophetically speak over the Dead Sea, and that what is dead will come to life. And that it will no longer be dead, but life will come to it, and it will be an indication in the future of the restoration of the power of God restoring all things. Are you with me? Just recently, I don't know if you saw this in the news, but it was, I think, Fox News or something. The title of the news report says, "The curse of the Dead Sea has ended." And the restoration, or the actual article says, "The curse of the Dead Sea has ended, ushering in Ezekiel's prophetic vision." And I was like, what? No way. So evidently in the Dead Sea, now there are large, huge pockets of fresh water and fish swimming in them. And they are now realizing that these pockets of fresh water are literally overriding the Dead Sea. And they anticipate that at its growth right now, that the consumption of the Dead Sea will be just in a matter of a few years if the fresh water continues at the level. And it's super deep and all of these things going on. I'm like, oh my gosh. But you can imagine the excitement, because you look at that and you go, oh my gosh, we really are in another example or indication of the restoration of heaven on earth and how it is destined to impact everything. Another thing that I have spoken about for a while is that we would begin to tap into treasures. Not only treasures in the earth. In other words, I believe the Lord showed me minerals, and this is a bit of a stretch, minerals and things that are in the earth that we haven't yet tapped into. In other words, we know the golds and other precious metals that are there that we have discovered, but there's actual treasure in the earth that we have not discovered. And that literally the earth is going to begin to open up. There's things, because of technology and all of these other things going on, we're going to discover things that was there all the time. And so another thing that the Lord showed me that I've written about is that even in space, that we would begin to tap into the treasures of space. And it would be a sign to humanity that we are no longer limited to just our landscape or natural environment Earth, but we have the mind and heart to go beyond where no man has gone before and learn to tap into the treasures above, right? That is really a natural indication of our ability to move in the spirit, to go into the kingdom realms of heaven and tap into the treasures that God has for us. So recently, they have brought to the forefront of the news about an asteroid naming, I think it's Psyche 16 or Sitch 16 or something like that. And it's an asteroid that they actually discovered toward the end of 2018. And the enormous gold and platinum and other precious metals, there's iron in it as well. And they said there is 10,000 quadrillion tons. Now just think about that. In fact, now, this is an alarming thing to a lot of gold holders of the United States and those in the world, because they're like, no way, you know, you can't do that. It will collapse the economy. And they're just doing all of these things, right? So they're like, no, this is bad news. And because NASA announced that it wants to, you know, begin to make advancements, and they're thinking like 2021, 22, somewhere in there, that they'll actually be able to figure out a way to begin to move in that direction. But what they're not looking at, and I believe what they are underestimating, is in 2015, there was a law, or whatever you want to call, passed that anybody in the United States that has the ability and potential can go and dig treasure out of space. Now think about this. That means that the genius in humanity is not limited to NASA, is not limited to some governmental process, but that means the genius in humanity, which you know, I know, that there's a lot of it out there, and they're already planning, they're already doing things to, you know, literally go and mine the treasures out of space. On the front, it looks like, oh, we're just going up and we're doing this and, you know, making everything kind of, you know, friendly. But behind it all is an intense desire to tap into a treasure that is beyond Earth. And I don't know about you, I have always felt that we are entering into a time and a season where there is a new kind of economy that is rising up in the earth. I've said for a number of years and written about it, how oil would no longer be the precious commodity because of our advancement, because of our ability, that the future is about light. Hello? The future is about light. Why? Because the kingdom of God is full of light technology in ways that most people would never even imagine. But we are beginning to see that light, that revelation, that genius come into earth. So that means that there are inventions that are being designed right now because of light. I don't know if I said this before, but I released a prophetic word a number of years back about rockets being propelled into space, and that they would no longer be propelled by fuel, that there would be a new power source that would take them further, faster than they've ever gone before. Right now, we are on the threshold of breaking those barriers. One is light. So there is a light technology that is on the forefront and being nurtured right now, being developed more and more. And it's not about pushing something up, but it's actually a light technology that pulls something up. And so because of the sun, because of other things, they're learning now that they have the ability to pull heavy objects up further and faster than something would actually be pushed up by fuel. Hello? I like that, because that is an indicator of who we are in the spirit. We're not being pushed up, we're being lifted up, right? We're being lifted up. We have been lifted up into heavenly places. So because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, we're not saying, come down, God. He's saying, no, John, come up here. And so we're being lifted up. That means the genius that is in you, the ideas, all of the things that are in you are being extracted out of you. Like, come up here. Let the world see the treasure that is inside of you, and let them get a hold of the life flow that is in you. I don't know about you, but if you begin to entertain this at any level, it is amazing how darkness gets overridden. Hello? That even the dark things that seem to try to come at you at any level, they are all of a sudden being overridden by this revelation of the kingdom of God that is in you. So I'm excited about this. Another thing is it okay if I just kind of do this? I just want to stir you up. Another thing that I've been speaking about for a while, and not just me, there's other people, I believe more and more coming into this idea of out of a decayed mentality into the increase of God's kingdom, and that I've been speaking about unusual agreements. Unusual agreements rising up in government, people coming along aside other people. Maybe you have an idea. Maybe you have an invention. Maybe you just have something in you that you believe is the future intent of God for you. What God does, once you begin to step out in faith, it creates a gravitation towards your faith and the risk that you take. And there's other people that he will link you with that will come into an agreement with you and you with him, and which will create an expansion, a gateway that will allow this thing to rise up at a higher level, right? So we know the power of agreement. We know there is no government. We know there is no constitution in the physical realm, in the sense of how we understand it, at least in the United States, that can come into a power without a level of agreement getting behind that and literally pushing it to the forefront. And I like how this works. So I've been speaking about global partners rising up in the earth, aligning themselves even with the United States at a level that people thought would never happen. I have been speaking about nations that have been enemies that will become future alliance with the United States. People that have been in disagreement coming into an agreement, obviously because of certain evident persuasions at one level or another, but at the deepest core of their being, realizing, wait a minute, it is to our benefit that we come into an agreement, which is really an agreement toward righteousness and the increase of God's kingdom, even though they don't recognize it as that in the moment. So there's some things that have been happening of late with the trade deal with Mexico and Canada, where there was this, you know, just really a lot of conflicting things going on, and just, you know, and all this, all of a sudden they come to the table and they enter into a greater trade deal than they had before, which, you know, it's like, no, this is a good agreement because this is good for all of us. And I look at that, and I would tell Tamara and other people, I go, here it is. It's starting to come to the forefront. The things I remember before President Trump became president that the Lord spoke to me at an event where I was speaking at and prophetically speaking about his entrance, but would come an unusual agreement where men and women would be of leadership would begin to align, not just because him being president, but because of the representation of the heart of God in him and for the greater part of the nation. Now, I know this can be political. I'm not political, but I am governmental in the sense of aligning what I believe is with the intent of God. So I saw this thing come forth. And just recently, so last night I was speaking about some of these things, an unusual agreement, get ready, they're coming to the forefront, unusual alliance. And so we got to our hotel pretty late, like, you know, 12:30 or something like that. Because, you know, we were hanging out and all this stuff, and we were like, oh my gosh. But when we got to our room, I don't know, we heard it on the radio, President Trump being in North Korea, you know, and sent out this, you know, text or whatever it was to Kim Jong-un and said, hey, you know, let's get together. And we're like, what? So we were listening to that as we were driving down the road. And here I was speaking about this unusual agreement and things happening. We're like, oh my gosh, it's happening right now. And I realized that what was going on is that God's intent was to have President Trump step on the soil of North Korea. And I want to remind you of a passage of scripture that God spoke, a word that God spoke to Joshua in his day in Joshua 1:3. It says, every place on which the sole of your feet treads, I have given it to you as I spoke to Moses. So it wasn't by coincidence, and it was an historic fact in the natural, but it was also an historic fact in the spirit, because the moment his foot stepped on the soil of North Korea, there was an activation in the spirit. There's something that is about ready to come forth. The captive will be set free. There is a shift of government, and the sneaky thing about God was just get your foot on that land, and I will give it to you. I don't know about you, but that I think that's worth getting very excited about. And those that are in cooperation, President Moon, I remember going to North Korea before he actually became president, and the Lord gave me a prophetic word of a shift in their government. I didn't even know what it was. And then the next thing you know, one president goes out, eventually another is voted in, and they're like, oh, this is, guy's not gonna be no good. And I stand up when I'm in Seoul, Korea, I think it was, and began to release this prophetic word that what you thought is bad is really a good thing, and that it will bring an unusual agreement and an unusual partnership in the land at the level that you did not expect. And here we were watching President Moon in agreement with President Trump, and then making that, he didn't step into that land, but he was there to agree with him, embrace what God was doing and saying, and therefore being a part of an international gateway of God infiltrating a land in a way that we did not dream. I'm telling you, an unusual agreement is in the making, and I realize there's people that when they look at things like this, that they will kind of poo-poo it, you know, and say, oh yeah, but this or whatever. You always have the naysayers in any situation. Why? Because of their inability to see the intent of God and the desire of God, and know this, and don't ever forget this. Even though there are moments when it looks like that God isn't getting his way, it isn't an illusion. Why? Because he is extremely patient. And he is very enduring. But make note of this. In the end, God always gets what God wants. And if it doesn't look like it's going to go one way, he will find another way. But he will always get, because in his heart and mind in heaven, it is a completed thing. It is not something that, oh, we're hoping this happens. Oh, no, in heaven, it's a done deal. It's already happened. I'm just trying to get you to become a part of it. I'm trying to get you to participate with the reality that it is finished. So we're getting ready to see the revelation of that authority come on the earth. I was recently in the Philippines, and the people are great, but the weather I didn't like so much. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, 100 degrees, 90% humidity, you know, you just felt like you were, you know, a wet noodle just walking around, right? And you just had to look straight because you were just constantly always, you know, like limbering. So I was like, oh my gosh. So I was always looking for an air conditioner. And in the public places, for those of you who've been there, they have those wall units and they're great. But most of the time it's just blowing air, not cooling, because they're kind of saving on it. So you have to, can you like turn the actual air conditioner on in that thing, you know? So it was just all of this stuff happening. But I'm writing a book, so I always say, I'm going to try to write when I'm on the road. You know, oh my gosh, that's just almost impossible because there's so much going on. But because of the air conditioning situation, I was staying in my room because it was great, you know, and keeping this little space that I had cool. And I'm writing on this book called 2020 and Beyond, The Kingdom Age of Maturity. writing about all of these futuristic things that I believe are coming into play and will manifest in the years to come. And so I'm rehearsing, going back into some experiences that I had with God. One of them being that when I was worshiping at home doing this thing, I had a throne room encounter where I go into the throne of God. And, you know, the throne of God is dimensional, so you can encounter an aspect of that, but you always have to remember that it's multi-dimension. So you can see and experience one thing, but there are many, many dimensions of that throne, right? And whatever he chooses to reveal to you, show you, then that's the case. In fact, did you hear the latest news? Speaking of multi-dimension, they, just because of the increase of technology, now they have discovered that there are at least 11 dimensions or more in your brain. And they actually have these type of images that they have created to show how the brain is multidimensional. And its levels of functions and ability. And they said that is only 11 or so of more or so of what we don't know. In other words, we think there's more. And when I saw that, I thought, that is so like God, because we are multidimensional beings. We occupy heaven and earth. And heaven is multidimensional. You are seated in heavenly places, plural. So there are many, many dimensions in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. And each dimension is destined, hear this, each dimension of the kingdom of heaven is destined to come upon the earth. Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're not just talking about one realm of heaven where there are amazing, amazing, glorious things going on, but we're talking about the dimensions of the Father's heart, the dimensions of his desire, the dimensions of his glory literally being released upon the earth. And when you look at the things that are happening, we're barely tasting a single drop, a grain of all that he desires to release upon us. So back to the book. I'm sitting down in my office in a nice cold room, writing on this book, reflecting on this experience that I had some time ago, going into this throne room encounter, wondering, is this real? Is this really happening? And I'm stepping into this place and I see bolts of lightning. I'm hearing the sound of thunder, you know, this kind of cloud-like darkness that is around, which is filled with glory. And just out of impulse, I don't even know why I'm doing this, but I just impulsively grab a hold. You can imagine like bolts of lightning sticking out like sheaves, like, you know, behind, you know, maybe arrows in someone's, you know, quiver, and reaching out and grabbing one of those bolts of lightning and thinking that I would have the ability and tenacity to literally cast that thing into an area of the earth. Well, that's what I was doing. I would grab a hold of a bolt of lightning, and just out of an impulsive reaction, I would throw it into a direction in the earth, not even knowing for sure where I was sending it, but just looking into the four corners of the earth and literally throwing these bolts of lightning. And as I was doing that, I took an opportunity. I mean, who thinks this way? I got one of them and I was like, I think I can bend this. It just reminds me, I'm saying this, you know, they discovered you can bend light, right? Here I'm bending this bolt of lightning. I think maybe because, you know, you curve it, it'll like, you know, turn the corner or something. I don't know, but it had something to do with redirecting it, like in a different direction. And so I would bend it, I would throw it, and it would be like, you know, and doing this thing. And I'm just having this crazy thing, and I'm still thinking in my mind, is this real? Like, is this happening? So I have this amazing, amazing encounter in the spirit. This was on a Friday or Saturday. I I go to a meeting. I'm sharing this experience with people. I said, I don't know about you, but I was just believing and getting ready. I know what it was. It was part of dethroning leadership, kings, and different fields of authority in the earth, and throwing bolts of lightning and literally ejecting corruption and all of these things, right? So I was co-creating with God in his intentions toward government. And I was sharing this with the people. And the next couple of days, a thunder and lightning came in the Pacific Northwest. In our area, this is like 2012, somewhere in there, you can Google it, but it was one of the most historic lightning that the Pacific Northwest had encountered up to that day, and I think even beyond that since, that nothing has matched it. And lightnings were coming over Seattle, lightnings were coming over our area in Yakima to such a degree that when it thundered, that there were windows that literally broke out of businesses in our area. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is crazy. This is, and I was just undone. I was just totally undone, but I felt like that atmosphere was on me. So back to my book. I'm writing about this experience. I'm getting stoked. I'm like getting reminded of this encounter. Oh my gosh. I forgot how glorious that was. In fact, Kat Kerr, a month later, I invited her to the meeting, thought, well, this gal's really different, but I like her, you know. Invited her to this meeting to come to be one of the speakers at a conference we were doing, and we were talking about some things, and she came to me as I was getting ready to speak, and she says, hey, I wanted to give this to you. And she gave me this drawing of an angel of the Pacific Northwest that had lightning rods on his arm and lightning rods on his body. And she said, this is one of the angels of the Northwest, and he's a lightning angel. And I was like, oh my gosh, no way. And she goes, yeah. She goes, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to give this to you. And I began to share my experience and story, and she goes, yes, I knew that, you know, it was just, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So I go into the meeting, I'm getting ready to speak into the Philippines after revisiting this whole thing. When I go into this meeting, this just happened a month ago, when I go into this meeting, I've got this atmosphere on me. And this is why I'm telling you this. When you begin to engage with God in the Spirit, when you begin to engage even with an idea, with a song, with a word, whatever it is, an expression, a creative, an artistic moment, when you begin to engage with that, you enter into the atmosphere of that. You literally begin to absorb it. You literally begin to take it on to where it becomes a part of your being. When I came out of that room and went into the upper story of the hotel, which had a conference area up there, and I began to speak, I was talking about co-creating with God and how creation responds to you. And I said, I go places and I expect creation to begin to respond to the power of sonship that is inside of me. And I move into this place, and all of a sudden, there's thunder. I mean, physical thunder. When we went into the meeting, there's no clouds, there's no whatever. And I hear this sound, this thundering that is so intense. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I like, what is that? And they go, oh, it's thunder. And I was like, oh no. And then we're moving into this realm, and then you could hear, you know, the crackling, right, of the thunder, and then the area lighting up and lightning hitting and striking and all of this. And then you hear this enormous roar, and it's pounding on the roof of this hotel. It made the roof feel like that it was only 6 inches thick above your head, but the ceiling was almost as high as this. And you could just hear, and I was like, what is that? And they go, that's rain. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. And then all of a sudden, the lights go out. And you're like, what? And then the generator kicks in, and they come back on. And this goes on for about 5-10 minutes or so, and then it just stops. And I said, okay, you're not going to believe this. And I realized that I was carrying the atmosphere of that experience. I brought it into that place with me. Now, they can have thunders, they can have whatever, but I was there at a time where it wasn't supposed to be yet. I'm telling you that we are coming into a time and a season in the kingdom of God where creation is longing for the revealing of the sons of God. When I say sons of God, I mean sons and daughters of God, waiting, literally ready to respond to the increase of heaven that is in you. Whether it's through something, a song, whether it's through a word that you release, whether it's through something that you create, whatever it is wanting to respond, ready to respond to the revelation of the sonship of God in you that gives you the ability to create something out of nothing, that gives you the ability to take a thought, to take an idea, to take an image that is inside of you and begin to form it, because that is the nature of God in you, the ability to form something out of nothing and then release it as a government into the earth, and therefore creating a shift in the earth because it is impregnated with the life force, with the life of God in it that impacts multiple people in multiple nations across the world. That is who we are, and that is what is coming forth in this time. And so I'm excited about these things. I've been doing this thing. Oh, I got to share some of this. I wanted to, maybe in the future when I come back, I'm going to unpack this thing about the future and about the life of John and why he was who he was and the power of sonship that was behind it and why we're coming into the season that we are coming into in a very intense and powerful way. But one thing I want to just focus in on real quick, I want to just talk to you briefly about something. Is this okay?
Yeah. How are we doing on?
Oh my gosh, okay. So I want to talk to you briefly because I feel that this is applicable to so many people in this place and that will be coming into this place. And that is a modern day scribe or a modern day prophetic scribe and the power of it. And my encounter, what initiated this, I'm just not going to go into it because I think I shared this before, how I had an encounter with three men in heaven who were scribes and they were holding staffs in their hand. And the Lord spoke to me and he says, in heaven, you are a scribe. Now, when I first remember releasing that word, I was thinking, in heaven, I'll be a scribe. And I think I shared a little bit of my despondency when I heard that because I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm going through this life and I'm going to come into heaven, I'm going to write, you know, like, you know, because even though I write lots of books, I'm. It's like, you know, if it wasn't really God-inspired, there's just no way. And so I'm a little bit let down. And I'm trying to adjust, you know, it's like someone offering you the position, you're supposed to be happy about it. And so I'm trying to just in my soul in just like, okay. And then I wanted to state my case. I'm like, so what in heaven am I going to write about that you don't already know? You know, like, you know, thinking all who's up there, like, what can I possibly do or write about that everybody isn't really aware of, you know? And so I'm leaning into this thinking I'm presenting a good case, maybe get a different job there. I'm just being real. I was really just like, wow. So I'm going into this place of thinking, and all of a sudden, I hear this, you know, sounding voice in my spirit. And he says, my kingdom is an ever-expanding kingdom, and to it there is no end. And I felt like my spirit just vibrate under the intensity of that intent of God. And so what he was saying, I'm inviting you to come and be a part of the expansion of my kingdom, not only in heaven, but on earth. Because as a scribe, I am calling you to co-create with me. And, whew, man, I just felt a wave there. So I realized something powerful, that being a scribe isn't just someone writing a book. In fact, being a scribe is artistic. Being a scribe, I'm going to show you some different things that have scribal anointing and scribal a power over it to actually release the government of God. Every time a song is written or sung or whatever, you are actually functioning as a scribe, because you are literally co-creating with God and releasing his intent in the earth. And this is a scripture that I discovered later out of Judges 5, verse 13 and 14. It says, the people of the Lord came down to me as warriors, and from Ephraim, those whose root is in Amalek came down, following you, Benjamin, with your peoples, and from Machir, commanders came down, and from Zebulun, those who wield, here, this is what I want you to see, those who wield the staff of office. So, it jumped out at me because they were holding staffs. And when I went and looked up the word staff in the Hebrew, it means pen. I was looking, they were holding staffs of authority, but the staffs were an indicator or a symbol of their pen of authority. And the word office means scribe. So the pen of a scribe. And I realized that, see, it was talking about commanders. The last part of the scripture, it says, for Machir's commanders came down. And what the Lord was showing me is that I give you a pen to scribe my intent. And in that moment, you function as a commander of heaven on earth. Holy smokies. So, a modern day scribe covers a wide range. I can't even go into all of the fields, but a few of them is writers, poets, artists at every level, businessmen and women. When you sign a contract, when you put your signature up on something, in heaven, as you function as a son of God, you are functioning as a scribe. You are releasing your pen of authority. A very higher picture of that in the natural would be when the president of this United States signs in an executive order. He is in the place of being the commander of this nation. And as a result, when he signs that documentation, it releases the government of intent for that nation. That is the same level that you and I are invited to participate at that moment. If you're purchasing a property, purchasing a house, whatever the case is, a business idea, the moment you begin to sign that document, you are stepping into a field of authority, of responsibility, that it is literally God inviting you to take a risk and to step into that moment to advance government that is in you. You see, I wish I had the revelation of this when I began to write, and I knew that it was something that God was bringing me into, but you know how it is. You go from one understanding to the next understanding, right, increasingly. So I realized, oh my gosh, You see, this changes my whole demeanor when it comes to writing books and so forth. Because now when I'm writing, I'm not writing a book just as an author or wanting someone to read it or whatever. I realize that now when I'm writing as a scribe on earth and in heaven. The moment an angel who is assigned to you, scribal angels are assigned to you, and the moment you begin to pencil something out or to simply make note of it, there is a release of government. They carry that, they look at that, they know it's the intent of God, and they literally take that to express it into the earth. They take that word and they release it. So that means that you are governmental. Are you with me? So when I'm going to simplify this. When I take notes, and I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of notes, and I put them on my phone, and I say notes, one or two words, God will speak to me. Having the scribal perspective, I go realize, okay, wait a minute. I'm just not making notes. I'm not just not writing a book. I'm co-creating with God. I'm participating as government of God. So I make a note of something, just like if I were sitting there doing what I did, make these fast notes. Why? Because I know there is a scribal angel here that will assign himself to that the moment it is released and the moment it is declared. So I might write down two words. The two words become a future gate. I don't have time to sit there and write the whole thing out, but I do have the time to write down two or three words that give me the ability to go back and revisit that. When I read those three words, that dimension opens up to me. And I come into the revelation of God's intent, and I begin to just speak that out or write it, go expound on it. And I know when I do, I'm moving into a higher creative realm. You see, the word prophet, if we want to just think about the word prophet, it also means poet. Why? Because it is the ability to see the dimensions or the details of something. And I've said this before, if a poet looks at a tree, they just don't see a tree. They see all of its intricate parts. They see its bark, its depth, its representation. They reveal a language, a breath about it that the average person just walking by, oh, there's a beautiful green tree. That is our ability to see into the dimensions of God's heart and intent. Are you with me? Let me move faster here. So you can literally pin the future into existence. You can literally pin an idea, an invention that is inside of you. You see, the moment you begin to describe it, talk about it, you are moving into a scribal realm to now you are beginning to create something, form it. And as you do that, there are angels that are assigned to the thing that is revealed to you to carry it out and open gateways for you in advance. And right now, even as we are in this place, I feel God is advancing you. God isn't limited by any form of decay. The only decay that he can be limited to is how we think or perceive. There are men and women right now in the medical field that are saying, do you realize that the 50,000 trillion cells that are in your body are actually navigated or functioned by your perception? Now think about this. Your cells in your body begin to move in a certain direction or do something or respond because of how you see. If you see the future and from the perspective of darkness and negative and all of this, your cells in your body begin to move out of a nutritional position into a decayed perspective. You see, the cells in the body, they can't go positive and negative at the same time. They have to go one way or another. So if you're a complainer and you're always talking about the things that are wrong and you're always talking about the things that aren't working, your body, its molecular structure, its cellular structure will literally gravitate toward a negative result. But if you are leaning into a hopeful, if you are leaning into a positive perspective because of God's intent and desire, your cellular system will begin to feel nutrients. It will begin to release nutrients into your body and literally change something on the inside of you. All through Scripture, God says this, Old Testament, New. Write it down. Write it down. Listen to what he says in Habakkuk 2, verse 1. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. This is all about perspective. It's all about seeing beyond. And then he says, and I will keep watch to see and what he will speak to me. And how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record it. Write it down, the vision. Inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. Now, he's just not talking about humanity reading it, even though that has a cause and effect. But he's saying that and angels will be assigned to it. And when they read it, they will run with it. Another translation says, I will climb up to the watchtower and stand at my guard post, and there I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets. Write down what you see and hear, and a runner will carry the accurate or correct message to others. Anytime you are releasing something, sharing something with someone, there are assignments that are attached to that. Anytime I am declaring, speaking, whatever, there is a runner that will take it and run with it and saying, this is the intent of God. We're going to carry this out. This is the idea of God going before us. Angel of the Lord says this to John in Revelations 1:19. Therefore, write the things that you have seen and the things that are and the things which will take place and after these things. Here he's telling him, I want you to write down the past, the present, and the future. But you have to write it down. How many thoughts do you have that you believe are good ideas? How many thoughts that go through your mind on a daily basis that you think might have the potential really to produce something great and wonderful? And how many of those same thoughts do you actually make note of that you write down? I'm telling you, the simplicity of this, and I've learned it in my own life, that when I learn the voice of the Lord, when I lean into an accuracy toward the future, sometimes it's as simple as me simply writing it down. Why? Because you go from one thought to the next. That one begins to fade out. Only the ones that are more impactful will they stick with you. But it fades out. And you go to the next one, and you go to the next one, and then you're like, God, why isn't this working? Why? And he's like, because you're not making note of it. You are not corresponding. You are not moving in cooperation for angels, the angelic realm, to take what you have and release it. In Psalms 56, it says this, verse 8, you have taken account of my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not written in your book? This is what I want you to see. The moment you write something down, when it's kingdom, when it's an inspiration of God, his desire to expand, what he does is it enters into the heavenly realm and immediately goes into a library. Where the people that have gone before you and others in heaven, they get to go and see the record of what you are recording. I'm telling you. Why? Agreement. Because they will look at and see, and they will come into an agreement with the God's intent in you. And they will say, oh my gosh, they're onto something. Lord, let it happen. Lord, we come into an agreement. That means that you have potential to release the knowledge of God into the library of heaven, and therefore other people in heaven can cooperatively align themselves with you in the tent of God for you. Another one real quick. This is Job. He says, "Oh, that my words," Job 19:23, "oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book." You see, they are. Right? He's like, oh, that they were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. "That with an iron stylus and lead, they were engraved in a rock forever." That is the key. I'm telling you, that is the key. The most simple thing that I can share with you, the key to releasing the governmental intent of God in you, to release it into the earth. Write it down. Make note of it. And you will watch. I'm telling you, I'm challenging you right now. Watch and see how things will begin to shift and change. Lean into the light of God. Begin to express that light that is in you, the revelation of God. It might be something about your children. It might be something about a circumstance or a situation. It might be about this or whatever the case is. When you see the life in it and you think, oh, wait a minute, this is a key. This is a note. Think about the keys that God gives to you in that moment. Just make a note, 2-3 words, whatever it is, of that key. And that key, I guarantee you, will position you in a way that you can begin to lock and unlock things in the Spirit, in the kingdom of God. So please, just stand if you will. Given the fact that the food is on the table of the Lord is ready for us. We've had a prelude to that table, so I don't want to hold us back. But I just want to come into an agreement with the intent of God in you, the scribal authority that he has given to you. I want to be part of the inspiration of God towards you, of the future books that you will write, of the future contracts that you will sign, other things that you will paint, whatever the level of your creative ability is. I just want to come into an agreement with that scribal authority that has been given to you for the purpose of expanding the kingdom of God. And know this, that whatever you are making note of, whatever you are moving in, whatever level of scribal authority that you move into, you're not only doing it in this dimension, but you're doing it in heaven. Do you realize that the moment when you do that, just like I was said, other people get to view, they get to see it. Not only does that happen, but there are pieces, maybe to something that you're inventing or something that you're looking at. There are pieces of that in heaven, in the Spirit. The moment you begin to do that, then all of a sudden there is a pathway, a doorway that opens up and it begins here. Here's another piece. Here's another idea. Here's another thing. Why? Because we can see that you're taking it serious. We can see that you're taking note of it. We can see that you are someone who will follow through. And can I just release this word right now that this is a time and a season that you must follow through. You must follow through. Follow through with what God has given to you. Don't abandon it. Don't stop and just put it aside. But this is the age of following through. Following through. It takes a little bit of effort. It takes a little bit of risk or whatever the case is. It requires a little bit of emotion. All of the aspects are there, but follow through. Don't let the things that are not dictate or override your ability to follow through. If you follow through, you will enter into another dimension, another revelation of God's intent for you. Follow through, and there's some right now. I just see homes being built, new homes being built right now. The home is a signature. It is a sign. It will be a sign to you of a construction, something that has been formed on the inside of you, and suddenly it will appear, and it will represent to you a place of habitation that you had not abided in before. God is bringing you into a new habitation. I'm telling you right now, God is going to position you right now. You are being positioned as builders. Positioned as builders. You are being positioned as judges. not judges of condemnation, not judges of depletion, not judges of, you know, minimizing, but judges releasing the executing authority and power of God, his intent for his people, overriding the power of darkness. I declare it. I come into an agreement with you in this place. I agree with your journey right now. I agree with the plans and desires of God toward you right now. I come into an agreement. We come into an agreement. Tamara and I come into an agreement with you and declare that you will begin to see a fruit that you have not seen but long to see, because now you will see it and articulate it in a way that you had not before. And even if you feel the momentum and there's breakthroughs in your life, the Lord is saying, don't let the breakthrough become a limitation. In other words, keep going. Keep progressing. Just because you break through in one area, don't just ride on that carpet, so to speak. Know it is just the beginning of a beginning. Know that it is just a key to another key, a door to another core. And there you will enter into the realization, the reverberation of God as he spoke into my spirit. My kingdom is an ever-expanding kingdom, and to it there is no end. So I declare that the inspiration of heaven that is in you will be a divine inspiration to those around you and will enable them to enter into a quality of life that they have never experienced before, and will awaken in them the unimaginable potential that is there in them and cause them to become the future creators of tomorrow. In Jesus' name, come on.